to take a time and note each person who's here and be grateful that things were not worse as they could have been. Also, I learned as this storm passed through us this past Wednesday, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, we are spoiled individuals. Fortunately, we still have half power, but we lost the air conditioning. I went to the store the other day, and one lady about my age, a little bit older, she said, "Oh, I remember when I was a child, we had no air conditioning. Now we think the earth has ended because there's no air conditioning." So. But even worse than air conditioning, I was surprised how we are so consumed with our electronic ability and the internet. My, oh my, we lost the internet. But it came back. Think about the time there was no internet. So it gets us to think how wonderfully blessed we have been, and not simply because of those two things, but that God spared this area in our lives that we can be here to worship it again. And again, thankful to God that that tree didn't fall this way. I was shocked to see how that went. So it's good to see each one of you here this morning. My lesson is titled this morning, An Earnest Plea. And when I put this lesson together, I thought of one person, not just for him, but I thought of one person in particular, and I'm looking at him, and that's Bob. Because he always teases me that I always use this passage, and he's right. He's right. Now we're going to take a more detailed look of this passage I always look at. This earnest, the earnest plea. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's a beautiful section of Scripture, and we're going to look at various lessons that we can learn. In fact, we're going to look at four lessons from these two verses. The first is very simple. When you study your Scripture, the first lesson to learn is who's being addressed. And as we read the passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, the primary focus here is God. But now, who is being addressed? Well, if you look on the chart, brethren. Brethren are being addressed. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." So now he's not addressing the world, he's addressing those who had become God's children. As we look at that in more detail, he says, "I beseech you." That's the earnest plea. "I beseech you, brethren." So the idea of beseech here, the NIV and the New American Standard states, "Therefore I urge you, brethren." You go to another version, the English Standard Version, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren," our brothers. So again, it's a plea to who? It's a plea to brethren, is it not? And then you look at one more thing, Rogers Thesaurus. It says the idea of beseech means to beg, to plead, and to implore. So in other words, he's not saying, "Hey, do this." He's begging, he's imploring them. You who are brethren, this I beseech you. Now, before he gives them the instruction, it's interesting in the context how he goes about it. Because he's going to give some instructions as to what to do. But before we go into this instruction, we're going to see the reason why we should do this. In other words, "I'm going to beseech you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, see, I missed something on purpose. Because what he talks about is the mercies of God. You do these things that I'm going to tell you in these two verses because of what? Because of God's mercy. In other words, here's the reason why you should do these things I'm pleading to you with. You are his children. I'm beseeching you. Now you do them because look at God's mercy. So when we look at his mercy, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let's talk about his mercy for a little bit as we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where did the gift come from? God. What is the gift? Eternal life. Was that a mercy of God? We find in this passage, we deserve death, but we're going to get life because of God's mercy. So when we talk about our responsibilities, we should want to do those things when we look at God's mercy. Again, as we look at his mercy, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2. And Bob, thank you, because I've never given a lesson. This is the first time I've just given a whole lesson on this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It tells us here, verse 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Again, we're talking about, I beseech you, brethren, what? By the mercies of God. Look at what God has done for you, brethren. His mercy. Again, let's go to another passage. In Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. There we have for us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Guess who that is? That's you and I. He goes on to state, for scarcely a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps even for a good man, someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see how that falls in the category of the mercies of God? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Here's what God has done for you and I. Let's go to another passage. And 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, we have recorded for us here, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now again, the idea of the propitiation means the appeasement or the price. I could not pay the price for my sins, but by the mercies of God, he sent Jesus to be my propitiation. So it's interesting how Romans starts out. He talks about the brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Why? Because you deserve to die, but you're going to get to live. You had no remedy, but Christ became your remedy. So when we talk about the things after this, we should want to do those things when we consider the mercy of God. But let's go just to a few more passages. In Romans chapter 1, there he talks about, now he talks about the propitiation being Jesus Christ, which gives us access to life, but that is made known to you and I through the gospel. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for what? It is the power of God to what? Salvation. They say, how'd you tie that in there, Chuck? Okay, let me rephrase it to you. Look at the chart. Look at the verses I have up there. Romans 1:16 ties into those previous verses because it talks about salvation. Where is salvation? In Christ. And all those preceding verses talking about Christ, is it not? He's being our propitiation. And by the way, who gave that to us? God gave that to us. So the idea is God's mercy. So he's going to tell these brethren what they need to do, and he's pleading with them, and he's saying right in the beginning, and here's the reason why. All right, let's go to another passage. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. We have recorded for us there in Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, let's see how this all ties together now. Now it says that when we look at verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who hath qualified us. Question, how did God qualify us? Through Christ. Question, how do we meet those qualifications? Romans 1:16, by obeying the gospel. Why is that important? Because that's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. You see how we did that? I beseech you by what? The mercies of God. These passages that we've just looked at talks about God's mercy that is available to us so that we can be brethren. Now, that being said, before I move on, we've got Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 3, we have recorded for us here in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now look at what it says. How shall we escape what? If we neglect so great salvation. That salvation came through what? The mercy of God. When we reject that salvation, or if we choose to reject that salvation, we choose to reject the mercy of God. How are you going to escape that? You're not. But people don't understand that, do they? They always look at what I have to do if I'm going to be a Christian. What Paul is saying to the brethren here at Rome, I'm beseeching you. Now, before I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, I'm going to beseech you now, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The reason you do that is you look at the mercy of God. You look at the mercy of God, and this is what you should do. You see how that ties together? Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. The song, I forgot. Larry did this for me purposely. That's a song, and I'm glad you put that up there, the song we sang this morning. The love of God has shed priceless blessings on my head. That's his mercy. We didn't deserve his mercy, but he gave us his mercy. Therefore, since we have this wonderful mercy of God, the creator of heaven and earth, Romans goes on to teach this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, now we come to the responsibility. You see how it started out? It started out who's addressed. It started out where the blessings come from. And then it teaches us this is what you should do. Since he's giving us those blessings, I then should be a living sacrifice. And notice, wholly acceptable to whom? To God. God's under consideration, both of these verses. God gave us the mercy and for us to meet those responsibilities. Now, it's interesting because if you go to the Old Testament, and I'm not saying you do it, but one of the books that is often quickly neglected is Leviticus. Is that not so? I mean, when you think of Leviticus, you think of Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10. And in the first six chapters, you've got the five different types of sacrifices. But for the most part, for many, maybe not you, Leviticus is kind of a blur. Nadab and Abihu, let's move on. And Leviticus is talking about the various sacrifices that they were to give at that time. But in the New Testament times, we give ourselves. We give ourselves as living sacrifices. In other words, when I put on Christ because of God's mercy, I've given myself to serve him, wholly acceptable to who? To God. Not holy and acceptable to what I think is acceptable. holy, acceptable to God. So let's talk about living sacrifice. Now, we talked about God's mercy. That's the primary focus. God's mercy has put you here. That being the case, you do this. And being a living sacrifice, let's go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, 11 through 14. We have recorded for us, beginning verse 11. Likewise, now remember Romans 6, 3 and 4, they put on Christ at baptism, but verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Stop. Stop right there. Don't look down. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. You cannot use the excuse, I couldn't help myself. Because that shows I have the choice not to let sin reign in my mortal body. Correct? And you have the choice to not let it reign. All right, as we go on, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God, being alive from the dead, as your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, I want to stop at verse 13 again. Question, who's the focus? God. Here's what you do. You keep God in focus. As we go on, let's look on. For verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin does not have to have dominion over us. Why? I'm a living sacrifice. How is that possible? Because of God's mercy. Because he sent his son and gave us away. You see how this all ties together? Let's go on. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. What price was that? That was Jesus Christ, was it not? He was the propitiation. That's the price. You are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I beseech you, brethren, by his mercies, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, you can take this lesson today and just dismiss it. That's totally up to you. But understand this, if we do, we're dismissing God's plea as to what we should do. You see how important that is? Let's go on. As we go on and talk about the living sacrifice, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I really enjoyed this as I looked at these two verses, because I do use them often. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it states, you also as living stones. Notice we're talking about living sacrifices in Romans. Now we're talking about living stones are being built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Oh, look at who's under consideration here. Acceptable to who? Acceptable to God. We're focusing to God through Jesus Christ. See, God, those two go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, doesn't it? But acceptable to God. And then we go in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy. Uh-oh, look, now we're bringing mercy in the picture. But now have obtained mercy. I beseech you by what? The mercies of God. What's God's mercy? Giving his son, giving away. And we, in turn, giving our life. But as we go on, just one more passage there. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourself a what? A living sacrifice. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you received from us how you ought to walk. Listen, what's the focus? how you ought to walk, to what? To please God. You see how I'm tying this together with Romans chapter 12 as we look at verse 1? Living sacrifices, because we want to do what? We want to please God. And why do we want to please God? Because by His mercy we have access to God. We have the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, Paul said, I beseech you, I plead with you, live this way. Let me ask you, are a lot of people who wear the name Christian missing the boat? Are they missing the boat? Let's hope you and I don't miss the boat. But that's not the only instruction here. Because after that instruction, so it starts out the plea, who it's to, the mercies of God, your sacrifice, and then one more point, the conflict. The conflict that we have. Let's read those two verses again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. Did you see in these two verses God's mercy and God's will? And here's what you do. You're living sacrifice. Oh, and by the way, he says, while you're that living sacrifice, you've got a conflict. And the conflict is we live in the world. And by living in the world, it's easy to subject ourselves to have the mindset of the world. Is that possible? Let's look at this. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He goes on and states this, and we studied James the other night, a portion of James. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world will make himself an enemy of God. Okay, let's just stop there. Friendship with the world. If I really want to fit into the world, can I? The answer is yes. But if I fit into the world, if I fit into the mold of the world, what do I sacrifice? I sacrifice my relationship with God. So he says, not only do you need to be living sacrifices, but there's going to be this conflict. There's going to be a pull on you. You got God and his teaching pulling you one way, and you got the world and his teachings pulling you another way. But if you choose the other way, to be friendship with the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. Now, I don't know about you. I definitely don't want God as my enemy. You say, but I'm a Christian. Yeah, but a Christian can turn. So let me give you an example. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have recorded for us here the warning about a person we're familiar with, and that's Demas. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, a very sad statement here, because at one time he was a faithful child of God. It says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica creation. But notice, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Question to you. And when I ask questions, as you're aware, I'm not looking for a response. Not verbally, in your mind. When it says that, did Demas make an agreement to be accepted to the world, by the world? So here's one who was faithful that went astray. Let me give you a situation from years ago. My children grew up in public school. And by the way, when we talk about public, private, I wish parents the best whichever choice you make. Just bring them up in the nurture of the truth. But they grew up in public school. And what I noticed looking back on those years, you had not the children, but some of the parents of those children so desirous that their children was well known and well liked. And I would scratch my head. Do you remember that? I would scratch my head when I saw that. I didn't care whether my child was well known and well liked. And of course, when it was always shown, it was shown at the graduation. The ones with the biggest mouths would speak up. I want my child to be faithful. And when he sees it, God, he's speaking up from heaven. That you can't hear him, though. But you see, we teach that to our children. We want our children to fit in. Now, I realize you don't want your children to be a battering ram, but you got to be careful how much you want them to fit in. But by the way, they're going to see how much they can fit in by looking at you, how much you fit in. Right? How much you fit in. Let me give you one other illustration, and this is not the topic this morning. Homosexuality. Now, that's been going around for a long time now, has it not? Now, when I first started preaching in the 70s, that's a long time ago, in the 70s, it was not well embraced. Now, quite the opposite is the truth. We teach that that lifestyle is sin, because the Bible teaches that. But society has put their stamp of approval. I would be looked at as being bigoted because I'm challenging a choice that another person has made. But the reason I'm challenging that, because God challenges that. I'm not against that person. Listen to me. I'm not against that person. They got a soul just like I do. I'm against their conduct. Their conduct is out of harmony with the will of God. Now, you're going to have to agree with me. Has society, not saying the Christian, has society basically fully embraced homosexuality? But as a child of God, I can't. I can't be conformed to this world. Now, how did that happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a lengthy process of time with our media and liberal religion and other things to where it has been embraced. And that is so sad, because what society has done is tell these people, hey, what you're doing is right. We've become more enlightened. We're more enlightened than God. And here it is. And I'm not going to go into a lot of arguments about that, but some said, well, they can't help themselves. You know who else says that? The alcoholic, the pedophile, and those who cheat on their spouses, the philanderer. Oh, and by the way, you know what's next in line if this world stands? Pedophilia. Pedophilia is just down the line, people. I'm going to tell you, the way things are going, somewhere down the line, that is going to be embraced by our society. God forbid. But that's how the world is. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. First of all, why do we have to even express our sexual identities to others? Men should be men, and women should be women. I'm sorry, that's not hard for me to comprehend. But in today's time, our society wants to make that a difficult thing, do they not? So we got to be careful that we're not conformed to society. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to use your intelligence here. It doesn't come by chance. And 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Now, why are you going there? Just one more part about the homosexuality. If you know someone who's a homosexual, if you get an opportunity, try to teach them. Their soul is just as precious as your soul. But what you can't do, and you shouldn't do, is give a stamp of approval for their conduct. Their conduct is not in harmony. Just like I can't give my stamp of approval for the conduct of someone who's living with someone else and they choose not to be married. They choose not to be married. I can't give my stamp of approval for that. Why? Because God doesn't give his stamp of approval for that. We look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It goes on and states this, therefore, here's the key. So how am I going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully to the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Now I want to stop here. Those who follow the world, are they ignorant? Yeah, they're ignorant of God's truth, are they not? It goes on, but as we look, but as for he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We have been set apart. I beseech you therefore, brethren. How do they become brethren? By being baptized into Christ. Here's what you do. Here's how you live. Here's your sacrifice. And here's what you're going to battle. You can't be conformed to the world. Well, how am I not going to be conformed to the world? I'm going to be transformed by the girding up my mind. Girding up of my mind. But I've got to do that. You've got to do that. Let's go to another passage. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Titus chapter 2, 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. By the way, there's a whole sermon there, but I won't go there this morning. But the point is this. I'm a child of God. I'm to be a living sacrifice. And that's based upon the mercy of God. Right? We saw that in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And to do that, I've got to always be on guard that I'm not conformed to this world. That what I am doing is pleasing to God. It doesn't matter whether society is pleased. Society is pleased with a lot of things that God is not. One more passage. In Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 13 through 16. So I hope this study has been interesting to you, especially to those of us who are Christians, because Paul is pleading with us. Here's how you're to be. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It goes on and states this, for it is God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. By the way, that one verse, there's a sermon right there. It's God who works in you. Now, how does God work in us? Well, by us being renewed in our mind. And how are we renewed in our mind? By us taking these teachings, being a part, by being that living sacrifice. Then he goes on to state this, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you might be blameless and harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Remember, conformed, transformed? Most of society is conformed, are they not? But you're transformed. And it tells us here, you're in the midst of a crooked society, whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. You're shining in a wicked world because God has given you salvation because of his mercy. And I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. Isn't that simple? It's simple to study. It's simple to put together. But, here's the but. It takes all of my effort. You see, Christianity, as we study it from the Bible, is not a lazy man's religion. Christianity, as we study the Bible, leads us to give our full effort to serve him. Are we doing that? We close with this passage. In Romans chapter 13. From Romans 12, we jump to Romans chapter 13. Living sacrifices, being transformed because of the mercy of God. And then Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You see that in verse 12? Works of darkness, armor of light. Remember Romans 12? Conformed, transformed. You see how that ties together? Works of darkness, armor of light, conformed, transformed. You see what we've done here? How we go on. Let us walk properly. I'm talking about armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Okay. Conformed, transformed. Well, you see that in verse 13? Walk properly. Not as. Conformed. Conformed. When you look at verse 13, that's how society is. Is it not conformed to society or transformed? But put on the Lord Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. It does not say make no provision for the flesh. We have to feed ourselves. We have to do other things. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Why? Because in Romans chapter 12, we are living sacrifices. Because Romans 12 and verse 2, we are to be transformed. And why should we put the effort to be living sacrifices and transformed? Because of God's wonderful mercy. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. If we understand and appreciate the mercy of God, we'll live the type of life that He wants me to live. If you're here this morning and you have not submitted to the teachings of the Word of God, being baptized for the remission of your sins, my lesson was not about baptism today, but we've heard it so many times, and I don't apologize to tell you again. It's at baptism that you come into contact with the blood of Christ. You want the blood of Christ. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, but He won't be your propitiation if you choose to ignore Him. You need to repent and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And then when you and I come up out of the watery grave of baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4, we're raised to walk in newness of life. And then as we see in Romans 12, beseech you, be a living sacrifice and be transformed as we stand and as we sing. Love for all.